All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am previewing tonight's action against the Miami Dolphins in the Falcons preseason finale. We're going to go position by position, breaking down which players I'm watching and thus you should watch too in tonight's action.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys. You know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for a long time at FalcFans.com, on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today we are doing the last preseason game preview. The Falcons are squaring off against the Miami Dolphins at home in Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight. This will be the last game. And, you know, on Saturday, in a couple of days, the Falcons will make their final roster cuts, paring down their roster from 90 players down to 53. The following day, they will then decide their practice squad roster. And then, you know, we'll probably be back Monday talking about what that roster is before turning our attention to the regular season, where the Falcons kick off the season next week, 7 days from now, as you guys are listening to this, against the Philadelphia Eagles. Today, we will continue our positional breakdown. If you missed yesterday's episode, where I basically predicted my own 53-man final roster ahead of this game, with the idea of sort of there could be changes coming off the heels of that game, but might as well just get it out there early on. And I sort of went through which 53 players plus 10, technically 11 players on the practice squad. We'll discuss and rehash some of that stuff on today. That if you checked out that episode, but we'll go into some deeper details about how and why guys are going to potentially make a bid for some of those final roster spots, for several of those practice squad spots. As we've discussed a number of times over this preseason, the Falcons don't have too many roster spots up for grabs. Most of the players that are going to wind up being locks for this team will probably sit out on Thursday or tonight. And, it'll be mostly bubble players playing in this against the Dolphins, fighting for an opportunity to potentially land maybe one or two roster spots at the back end of the roster, guys fighting for practice squad recognition, guys fighting for the opportunity to maybe catch another team's eye and maybe potentially land on their practice squad or maybe their roster, or just to have, be on the short list of guys that when teams later this season or next offseason, when they're bringing in guys to their camps and tryouts, might get another opportunity there. So that's really what's at stake in this game. And no more preamble, let's jump right in it, talking about the quarterback position. This is going to be the Kurt Benkert game. This is going to be the opportunity for him to sort of solidify the possibility of being on the roster. As I said on yesterday's episode, I do not think that's likely. I think that would take a very strong performance, like an outstanding game from Kurt Benkert to be that. But I do think, or as of right now, he's a virtual lock to be on the practice squad. I think today's NFL, keeping three quarterbacks on your roster is not something that most teams do. I think only last year, 60% of teams did that. And I would bet that probably the vast majority, if not 90%, if not 100%, 90% of those teams did so because they had recently used a mid or late round pick on a quarterback and basically didn't want to be put in a position where they would have to cut that guy because he wasn't one of the top two quarterbacks on the roster, with the idea of salvaging that guy for future development. And I think that's been the argument that people have made for why the Falcons should retain Benkert, but I just don't think he's played at a high enough level to sort of merit that. I think right now his performance through three preseason games, he's had some highs, he's had some lows, is really about on par with guys like Sean Renfrey or Matt Sims in previous summers, which were, Renfrey was able to stick around, I think, in large part due to his draft status. And so I don't feel like that's a guy that you desperately need to have on the roster, need to feel afraid someone's going to come in and scoop him up. Because again, as I said, 40%, possibly even more this year, of teams only carry two quarterbacks, and they're not going to go out and say, oh, Kurt Benkert, this undrafted rookie who, had a 49 passer rating or whatever that number is. I'm making that number up, but it was pretty low last I checked. is the perfect guy to be our backup quarterback. Like, that's, no one's going to say that. So, you know, the chances of him getting scooped up by another team are pretty infinitesimal, whatever that word is, very small. and so I don't feel like the Falcons need to feel compelled unless he comes out and really lights it up in this Miami Dolphin game. So that's really sort of what my expectation, and we'll find out if that happens. Let's move on to the running back position. You know, this is the moment in the podcast where I complain a little bit. And if you listen to Monday's episode with Dave Choate, you probably heard me complain about this. So I'm going to complain about it again. I'm going to spend another 3 minutes complaining about this. But I'm very baffled by the Falcons' usage of Ito Smith, and I'm very curious to see if he gets a significant increase in his workload. So far this preseason, he's carried the ball 17 times. You compare that to last summer, where Teron Ward and Brian Hill, who were battling it out for that number three running back spot, had a combined 56 carries in the preseason. And so from my perspective, if Ito does not get 10 to 20 carries tonight against the Dolphins, I'm just going to be baffled. I'm not going to sit here and be like, that's a Dan Quinn and the company are bad coaches or anything like that. I don't sit here and pretend that I am a better coach than any of those guys, you know, but you know, I want to be clear that I don't think in any way that I'm better coach than those guys. But nonetheless, I will still offer my opinions about whether or not I could be a coach. And if it was me, I would give him almost all the reps in the first half of this game and run him into the ground. It doesn't make sense to me that you're going to have this player basically ride the bench, presumably for the majority of the season as the running back, as the third running back, and really not get an opportunity to see what he can really do. Just to get an idea, just out of sheer curiosity, you should want to do that off of, you know, a measly 17 carries. And even if you don't plan on riding him, putting him on the bench for the entirety of the season, you do foresee him having a role. How can you really glean that off of 17 carries and the fact that he's only been asked to pass protect on two snaps this entire preseason? So, you know, I'm very baffled by the lack of usage. So my expectation going into this game, and we will find out if it's true or not, that the Falcons are going to run Ito Smith into the ground tonight, because the fact that they haven't done it so far in the first three games is baffling to me. But we'll see. If that's not the case, or if it is the case, we still should see a healthy amount of Justin Crawford and Malik Williams. Both of those guys are really fighting for a practice squad spot. You know, there's a slim possibility that if Justin Crawford, you know, rushes for like 146 yards tonight, then he can wind up stealing a roster spot. I think I would doubt that. But I think, you know, I've said before, I think Crawford is the front runner. I think a big reason for that is that Crawford has been getting steady work on special teams coverage units over the last two games, while Malik Williams has yet to play a single snap on special teams. And when you're on the back end of these rosters and you're not an offensive or defensive lineman or a quarterback, you're going to be asked to play special teams. And the fact that Crawford is being asked to play special teams is a strong indicator that the Falcons are leaning in his direction as a guy that they could keep on the practice squad with the intention that should an injury happen down the road, they can elevate him to the roster and he could still carve out and be active on game day because he can play special teams. Let's talk about the fullback position before we move on. I think this is Ricky Ortiz's job to lose. We'll see how it shakes out. Assuming that Ortiz continues to play as well as he has in the previous three games, I see no reason why he won't retain his starting spot and make the team. I think, you know, the one real issue I think is if Ortiz has a really poor performance or he gets injured in this game. And I bring up that latter point because we saw this happen before, where 3 years ago, Colin Mooney and Patrick DeMarco were fighting over a job, and Mooney wound up getting hurt in the preseason finale, and that was sort of the nail in the coffin, deciding that, you know, as I've said before, I feel like probably DeMarco still would have probably won the job had Mooney stayed healthy, but the fact that he did get injured was the deciding factor. And so I think that's something that we have to watch out for. I know most people were sort of like breathing a sigh of relief because the vast majority of the key players are going to sit out tonight, and those guys are going into the season healthy, and they're like, oh, we made it through the preseason healthy, but there's still a game to be played for a lot of these guys, for 50-plus guys. And a lot of these guys, you know, their NFL dreams are at stake, and, you know, I wouldn't necessarily just gloss over an injury to these guys because all of a sudden, if that happens, you know, that pretty much puts a huge damper on their NFL potential, and thus their dreams sort of crash and burn. So that's something to consider. So don't necessarily be like, oh, you know, injuries to this fourth string guy doesn't matter. It's like, well, it does matter to that guy. It may not matter to you as a Falcon fan because you knew that that guy wasn't probably necessarily going to be a long-term piece here in Atlanta. But, you know, to that individual player, it is a huge thing. To that individual player's friends and family, that's a massive thing. So keep that in mind. That's all I would say. We have more to come on this podcast, but, you know, people constantly are asking me for advice, and it's usually about betting advice, but the truth is, I don't know who to bet on. I don't know who's going to win, but if you guys think you know who's going to win, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember that who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are the best bet that you can make this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use. Why don't you guys go and lay down some cash and win big today? They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the biz. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over and under on how many fantasy points a player is going to score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim your bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. So let's talk about the wide receiver position. I'm curious if Calvin Ridley plays tonight. I think he needs reps, but I could certainly understand if the Falcons decide opt against giving him those reps. So, you know, whether all these guys play, I'm expecting a heavy dose of Marvin Hall, Reggie Davis, Russell Gage, Justin Hardy. Just, you know, I think that would help Bankert, you know, immensely if he actually has some NFL caliber receivers to throw to, as opposed to, no offense to the undrafted guys on the back end of the roster, but, you know, give guys that have actually caught a pass in an actual NFL game an opportunity to catch passes from Binker and see what he can do with a uptick in quality of wide receivers. But I could understand if some of those guys, particularly a guy like Hardy, sit because the Falcons don't want to put them under injury risk. I think mostly this game is going to boil down at this position for guys fighting for a practice squad spot. I don't think Marvin Hall is a lock for that sixth wide receiver spot. But I think basically the only way he gets cut is if, like, Reggie Davis comes out and tears it up as a return specialist and, you know, the Falcons opt to keep him at that sixth spot over Hall. But in all likelihood, if that happened, I think the Falcons would just opt to keep seven wide receivers on the roster like they did for pretty much the entirety of last season. I think ultimately that practice squad spot, it may be one or two spots, but ultimately it will probably boil down to Reggie Davis, Dontez Byrd, Devin Gray, and potentially Christian Blake. Fighting for that spot. We'll see what happens with those guys. And I think tonight's action, you know, who performs well. If we see any of those guys on special teams, you know, as a gunner on punt, we've seen Reggie Davis work as a gunner on, you know, punt and as work on kickoff coverage. We haven't really seen much of Byrd, Gray, or Blake on special teams. I feel like Gray and Blake have gotten limited snaps on kickoff coverage. I don't think we've seen Byrd yet. So I think that will also be telling if we see any of those guys out there covering punts and kicks, just sort of where the Falcons may be leaning in terms of who they might want to pick on special teams or on their practice squad. Because again, going back to what I said earlier about Justin Crawford, if that guy gets elevated to the active roster at any point during the season, he's going to be asked to play special teams. Looking at the tight end position, you know, I'll be curious to see if Saubert or Paulson get reps tonight. I think they should. Again, just so Binkert and whoever else have an opportunity to throw to some competent NFL caliber tight ends and have those guys. But I think we'll probably see a lot of Troy Mangin, a lot of Jaden Graham, you know, some of Alex Gray. He has had limited snaps at the very ends of games. I don't expect them to get him a ton of snaps. I would like to see what he can do for more than like seven snaps in a game, but we'll see. I think of this group, Mangin has the most likely chance of landing on the practice squad. We'll see if the Falcons keep a fourth tight end on the practice squad, given that they also are automatically going to be able to keep Alex Gray. You know, it could be Mangin, it could be somebody else, or they could just, you know, go with Alex Gray for the time being. So we'll see how that plays out. Looking at the offensive line, we'll see how the Falcons start. I'm assuming that none of the five starters are going to play. So I think we'll probably see that second unit O-line, probably some combination of Sam Brelo, Schweitzer, Garland, Douglas, Harlow and Gano starting again. I don't know which of those five will wind up getting the bulk of the reps, but we'll see. You know, I think the swing tackle spot is not technically closed, but I think it's very likely that Sambrelo is going to win that job. I think Gano and Harlow are also going to make the team. I mentioned that on yesterday's podcast. But I do think they do need to perform well tonight. I think if either one of those guys has major struggles against the Dolphins, and again, it should be noted that Harlow's worst performance last preseason was against the Dolphins. I think that will be, you know, something that's going to be a concern and may close the door on those guys making the roster. Certainly, I don't think we'll close the door on them making the practice squad. But as I've suggested before, I think if the Falcons cut Harlow, I don't think he's going to be long for the practice squad. I feel like some team is going to come by and swoop him up. I feel like that's probably going to happen with Gano as well, but I think it's less likely to happen with Gano. You know, we can debate how much less likely that is to happen. But, you know, I'm already mentally prepared for the Falcons to wind up keeping seven wide receivers for some reason and wind up cutting Harlow. So that'll be something that I can spend 15 minutes on Monday morning or Monday morning when you guys are listening to the podcast complaining about. So I'm mentally prepared for that. I don't think, Daniel Brunskill, who's a guy that impressed me last summer, is really likely to merit a practice squad spot in large part due to the emergence of Gano. I do think J.C. Hassenauer, the third string center, has a potential to land a practice squad spot. I also think Jameel Douglas, I would be very surprised if Jameel Douglas makes the roster. I won't necessarily say there's no chance of it happening, but I would be very surprised if that happened. I do think he has a pretty good shot at landing a practice squad spot. So, you know, we'll see which of those guys emerge on this roster. We got more to come with the defense, but I want to let you guys know that Locked On NFL Podcast, hosted by Matt Williamson, is all new with a brand new lineup. Every Monday, we'll feature local experts from various Locked On Podcast Network shows to talk with Matt on the biggest local stories. You can follow that on Wednesday, with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus before Mike Sando of ESPN joins Matt every Thursday. Be sure to follow the Locked On NFL Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So looking at the D-line, I think this is, you know, where one of the few positions where guys are legitimately fighting for roster spots. I think this is mostly looking at three defensive tackles, Justin Zimmer, Garrison Smith, John Cunningham, and a pair of edge guys in JT Jones and Anthony Wimbush. I think in all likelihood, if the Falcons keep a ninth defensive lineman, it's going to be one of those three defensive tackles with Zimmer and or Smith being the two likeliest candidates. I think Zimmer has been impressive as a pass rusher. I think Smith has done some good things as well as a run defender. I think this game will be the deciding factor, but their performances in this game could be the deciding factor, I should rather say. I would say, you know, you can certainly make an argument that Zimmer may be slightly ahead just because of that pass rush ability than Smith is at this point, but we'll have to see what shakes out. I think basically Cunningham is more than likely fighting for a practice squad spot. I think he certainly deserves one, but we'll see what the Falcons do, especially if they decide to keep both Zimmer and Smith, one of those guys being on the practice squad potentially. So I think it will be harder for a guy like Cunningham to stick, but you know, they could keep one of those guys on the roster and then put Cunningham on the practice squad. Who knows? I think as far as the edge goes, I think this is a game where the Falcons want to see JT Jones have a strong performance to finish off the preseason. I think he's most likely fighting for a practice squad spot, but I do think if he does light it up in this game, I think there's an outside shot for him landing on the 53-man roster spot. Again, I think Wimbush is very doubtful, even more doubtful for landing on the 53 than JT Jones is, but I think there's a slim possibility if he does, you know, show out as a pass rusher tonight. I think in both guys' cases, one of those guys, if not both of those guys, should be strong possibilities to land on the practice squad. I think Wimbush is, you know, I predicted him on yesterday's podcast to be on the practice squad, but not Jones. I think there's also a slim chance that Jacob Tuioti Mariner could also land on the practice squad. He's gotten a lot of reps over the preseason. I haven't been overly impressed by him, but it does seem like the Falcons have a thing for him. You got to remember that linebacker coach Jeff Ulbrich was his defensive coordinator at UCLA several years ago, back in the days when TAC and him and Miles Jack, the incomparable Miles Jack, were there at UCLA. So, you know, he's got a probably a champion on the coaching staff. At the linebacker position, I'll be curious to see if the Falcons play Duke Riley and Kamal Ishmael and Foye Olukun. I don't really think Ishmael needs the reps, but I certainly think the other two guys do. We've talked about that John Celestine seems to be the front runner for the possible sixth linebacker spot. As I've said, if the Falcons feel the need to keep a seventh wide receiver or something else, a third quarterback or whatever the case may be on the roster, it makes a lot of sense for this sixth linebacker spot to be the one that sort of goes away in order for them to make that happen. So I don't know if there's a guarantee that Celestine makes the roster, but I think if he has another solid performance, it should happen. And at the very least, he should be, like Binker, a lock to be on the practice squad at the very least. I would be completely shocked. Like, the only way, in my opinion, that he wouldn't be on the practice squad is if the Falcons cut him and someone claims him, which is a decent possibility given how well he's played this preseason. We'll see what Richard Jarvis and the two Emmanuels, Ellerby and Smith, do. I think they're on the outside looking in. I had Jarvis on my practice squad yesterday on my prediction, largely due to the fact that he can play Sam linebacker and also rush the quarterback a little bit. I think gives him a little bit of an edge, that versatility. And the fact that he's also played a healthy amount of special teams as well. But I honestly think the Falcons could easily look elsewhere and get a veteran player to sort of be that backup Sam, or, you know, to put on the roster or find somebody else on the waiver wire to be that backup Sam that, you know, has impressed them elsewhere when they've been watching other teams' preseasons, and put that guy on the practice squad instead. So we'll see what happens with that. Looking at the cornerback position, I think Isaiah Oliver needs reps, so I hope he plays tonight. Bleedy Ray Wilson and Justin Bethel should make the team, should have no problems making the team. But I think they should also get a healthy amount of work just because, you know, they're not by no means, like, maybe Bleedy Ray doesn't need it, but Bethel certainly does need it. You know, I expect Chris Lammons to play probably the entire, if not the entire game, but the vast majority of this game as the team's slot cornerback in the nickel. I do wonder, however, if we will actually get to see him play some safety reps in the base defense, which we haven't seen so far this preseason. Dan Quinn has sort of hinted at in the past with some of his quotes, saying that that is a possibility. That was the expectation when we signed Lammons, that he would be a free safety in the scheme. I think Lammons is a very likely practice squad candidate. There are some people out there that have projected him to make the roster. I think that seems a little unnecessary from my perspective. I won't say it won't happen. Again, you know, I don't know anything that's going to happen at this point. But it seems a little bit unnecessary because basically he'd be the fourth slot corner on the roster behind Poole, Alford, and Wilson ahead of him. He'd also be the fourth safety on the roster, you know, in that sort of hybrid slot corner free safety role, because you have Poole, Casey, Allen, and then Lammons. So it just, you know, that seems overkill to carry on your roster. But as far as carrying that guy on your practice squad with the potential that in the future you could develop that into maybe more, that makes a lot more sense to me at least. But moving on to the other cornerback that I'm curious to see how he performs is Deonte Burton. He's another guy that I think has had a decent preseason. Not amazing, not poor by any means. And sort of because, you know, he's a little raw, but I think, you know, relative to the fact that he was 12 months ago, he was playing wide receiver for the Falcons. I think he's shown some promise that I could understand and want to imagine the Falcons make sense to sort of carry on the practice squad just to give you another sort of developmental outside cornerback for the future. You know, since there seems to be an abundance of slot guys, presumably elsewhere. You know, I think Leon McFadden has done some nice things in this preseason, but I think at this point he's a long shot to make the roster and he's ineligible to make the practice squad. So basically, barring him having like a 2-interception game, I think it's going to be very hard-pressed for him to stick. Wrapping things up at the safety position, I'll be curious to see if we get any of DeMonte Casey and Ron Parker on the field at the same time, besides what we saw in that first preseason game where Casey was playing in the slot and Parker was playing single high safety in a nickel. You know, I want to see one of those guys get used at strong safety, just because if both of those guys are making the team, as far as safety goes, and Keanu Neal gets injured, neither one of those guys has really gotten a ton of reps as a true strong safety in the scheme. To be fair, in the preseason at least, not necessarily in the regular season, the Falcons kind of are interchangeable with their free safety and strong safety, as those guys will often, you know, the strong safety will get plenty of reps playing single high and the free safety will play in the box. So it's not as if like it's a completely foreign concept to them, because Parker has played in the box. Casey has played in the box in the preseason. But, you know, I just want to see them on the field at the same time together. That's all. You know, put your two best players out there. I'll be curious to see what Ryan Neal does tonight. We saw him make the switch from an outside corner in the second preseason game to strong safety last week, and he was the guy that was teamed with Ron Parker when he was at the free safety spot this past week. I thought, you know, Neal showed some promise. I think he's a prime practice squad candidate. We'll have to monitor and see if he continues to get work at strong safety tonight, or whether or not he moves back to being more of a cornerback, given that, you know, the Falcons may sit several guys at that spot. And that sort of leaves the last couple of safeties, Tyson Graham, Marcellus Branch, and Cedric Cooper. I think all of those guys are long shots, not only for the roster, but certainly for the practice squad as well. I think they've been very up and down throughout the preseason. I think calling some of their performances up is being somewhat generous. So I feel like those guys are long shots unless they really come out and play really well and just do a complete 180 on what they've done so far this preseason. I think Branch has been the best out of that trio, but only marginally so. On special teams, we're going to see Giorgio Tavecchio taking over for Matt Bryan as kicker. We're going to see David Marvin taking over for Matt Bosher as the punter. Hopefully they do fine. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not expecting a lot of Tavecchio, just because I'm not expecting a lot of points from the offense. But I'm sure we'll see quite a bit of David Marvin, finally. But, you know, knowing the Falcons, they'll go for it every fourth down they get, just to, you know, screw over David Marvin again. It's a running joke. If you haven't been listening to podcasts, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been listening to podcasts, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. It's a running joke that the Falcons seemingly seem to be purposefully limiting how many opportunities David Marvin gets to play in these games. But obviously, on special teams, the real issue is going to be in the return game. I'll be curious to see if guys like Ridley, Hardy, and Hall get action tonight. I think if any of those guys are sitting, I think it's a strong indicator that the Falcons may be leaning towards one or two of those guys being the kick and punt returner for week one. I think if they play, that also indicates that the battle is still up in the air and it's going to be anybody's game, simply because one big return is going to have a huge impact because we've had so few positives in the return game. You know, basically the whole reason why Ridley is a serious candidate to open the season as a kick returner is because of one 30-plus yard return. Had that been a 20-yard return or something like that, we wouldn't be having this conversation about Ridley being a serious candidate to be the kickoff return. But because he's had that one thing, so it's really one return, either as a kickoff returner or a punt returner, could wind up winning the job for any of these guys. So whether that's Ridley, whether that's Hall, Hardy, Ito Smith, Isaiah Oliver, Richie Davis, we'll have to wait and see. And wrapping things up, you know, unfortunately for the guys I did not mention, Garrett Grayson, Terrence McGee, Julian Williams, Lamar Jordan, Celesi Uhatefi, McKinty Cheridor, I wish all those guys the best in their future endeavors, but I'm fairly certain those endeavors will not be with the Atlanta Falcons. So I hope they all catch on, you know, with other NFL teams at some point in the future, or, you know, find a way to continue their professional football playing dreams, whether that's in Canada or whether that's in one of the various other semi-pro leagues in the Americas. Or in America, United States, unless they have a semi-pro league in Brazil, they probably do. But, you know, I'm not sure there's a strong pipeline, you know, down there. But anyway, so that's it, guys. And we'll be back tomorrow with a rapid reaction talking about this game and which guys stood out, stepped up, and may have, you know, snatched a practice squad spot, may have snatched a roster spot. So until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.